So now we've come to everyone's, well, most everyone's favorite part of a Christmas Eve service. I'm going to read the Christmas story. So hang on to the edge of your seats because I don't know if you know how it's going to end. Okay. Hang on a second. All right. Around the time of Elizabeth's amazing pregnancy and John's birth, the emperor in Rome, Caesar Augustus, required everyone in the Roman Empire to participate in a massive census. The first census since Quirinus had become governor of Syria. Each person had to go to his or her ancestral city to be counted. This political background is not incidental. It's actually crucial to the story. Conquering nations in the ancient world work in various ways. Some brutally destroy and plunder the nations that they conquer. Some conquer people as slaves or servants. Other empires allow the people to remain in their land and work as before, but with one major change. The conquered people have to pay taxes to their rulers. Sound familiar? The purpose of a census like the one that Luke describes here is to be sure that everyone is appropriately taxed and knows who's in charge. Now, Mary's fiancé, Joseph, from Nazareth in Galilee, had to participate in the census in the same way that everyone else did. Because he was a descendant of King David, his ancestral city was Bethlehem, David's birthplace. Mary, who was now late in her pregnancy, that the messenger Gabriel had predicted to her, accompanied Joseph. While in Bethlehem, she went into labor and gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped the baby in a blanket and laid him in a feeding trough because the inn had no room for them. Nearby, in the fields outside of Bethlehem, a group of shepherds were guarding their flocks from predators in the darkness of night. That sounds kind of scary to me. Suddenly, a messenger of the Lord stood in front of them, and the darkness was replaced by a glorious light, the shining light of God's glory. I don't know about you, but when I think of that, I just can't even imagine the most brightest, amazing, glorious light that you have ever seen. When we talked about this in children's ministry last week, we talked about shooting stars. How many of you have ever seen a shooting star or a meteor shower? They're really, really bright, right? And that's why we can see them, because they're so bright. But they also fall quickly. They don't stay up in the sky, right? Well, this light was as bright as that, but it appeared directly to them. They weren't gazing up in the sky purposefully looking for a meteor shower. It happened purposefully for them. Okay, so then the messenger said, "Don't be afraid. Listen, I bring good news, news of great joy, news that will affect people everywhere. Today, in the city of David, a liberator has been born for you. A liberator. He is the promised anointed one, the supreme authority. You will know you have found him when you see a baby wrapped in a blanket, lying in a feeding trough." At that moment, the first heavenly messenger was joined by thousands of other messengers, a vast heavenly choir, and they praised God. Can you imagine the sight of that? Can you imagine, you know, we up here, that song that we just did was only three of us. Can you imagine, and we're not heavenly beings. Can you imagine the greatness and the awesomeness of seeing heavenly beings form a choir and singing praise to God? Sorry, I get a little excited. Okay. As soon as the heavenly messengers disappeared into heaven, the shepherds were buzzing with conversation, so they're all talking to each other. Can you believe that? Oh my gosh, can you believe it? Okay, let's rush down to Bethlehem right now. Let's see what's happening. Let's experience what the Lord has told us about. I don't know about you, but if an angel came and appeared to me, I'd be pretty stinking excited. Like, you all think that I'm excited now, and you think that I'm crazy and a firecracker now? You should see me if I see an angel. Oh my word, I can't even imagine. So anyway, let's rush to Bethlehem right now. Let's see what's happening. So they ran into town, and eventually they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the feeding trough. After they saw the baby, They spread the story of what they had experienced and what had been said to them about this child. They didn't just tell people, oh, there's a baby in the manger over there. Isn't that weird? They also told people who that baby was and what this meant to the earth and all nations and every tongue, every tribe on the earth. So they shared that too. Everyone who heard their story couldn't stop thinking about its meaning. Mary, too, pondered all of the events, treasuring each memory in her heart. The shepherds returned to their flocks, praising God for all they had seen and heard, and they glorified God for the way the experience had unfolded, just as the heavenly messenger has predicted. How many of you are so excited about what God has done in your life? And you can't wait to share the good news and tell other people about it. That is what the shepherds were experiencing, but so much greater, okay? So, 8 days after his birth, the baby was circumcised in keeping with Jewish religious requirements, and he was named Jesus, the name the messenger had given him before his conception in Mary's womb. After Mary had observed the ceremonial days of postpartum purification required by Mosaic law, she and Joseph brought Jesus to the temple in Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. They were fulfilling the Lord's requirement that every firstborn Israelite male will be dedicated to the Eternal One as holy. Just a side note there, I love baby dedications. Okay, that's why. So they also offered the sacrifice required by the law of the Lord, 2 turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. While fulfilling these sacred obligations at the temple, they encountered a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. He was a just and a pious man, anticipating the liberation of Israel from her troubles. He was a man in touch with the Holy Spirit. So he knew the Holy Spirit. He knew God. He knew who he was. The Holy Spirit had revealed to Simeon that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's anointed one. The Spirit had led him to the temple that day, and there he saw the child Jesus in the arms of his parents, who were fulfilling their sacred obligations. Simeon took Jesus into his arms, and he blessed God. And so then this is Simeon speaking. Now, Lord and King, you can let me, your humble servant, die in peace. You promised me that I would see with my own eyes what I am seeing now, your freedom, raised up in the presence of all peoples. He is the light who reveals your message to other nations. And he is the shining glory of your covenant people, Israel. Your freedom. Simeon knew who Jesus was. Simeon knew who Jesus represented. And so that's why we experience that same joy today, because we know that the birth of Jesus wasn't just about a baby who was born in a manger to a virgin in some crazy, weird way. We know that we celebrate the birth of our Savior, the one who has come to liberate us from everything that captivates us, everything that holds us back, and everything, every dark and terrible thing in this world. And that's why we celebrate Christmas. That's why we give, that's why we receive, and that's why as Christians, no matter what kind of darkness we face, especially at Christmas time, you know, a lot of us, the Christmas season is very hard because some of our loved ones aren't here to celebrate with us this year. But I want to encourage you no matter who you've lost, though they are not here with us on earth, they are celebrating at the greatest birthday party you could ever imagine. And even though we are sad because they are no longer here with us on earth, it's okay to be sad and it's okay to feel sadness. But we have that great joy that Simeon experienced when he saw the promise, when he saw what God delivered to him. We have that joy. So I just want to encourage you this evening, if you are experiencing grief or if you have suffered a loss, especially at holiday time, if you've suffered a holiday loss, don't let that define the holidays for you for the rest of your life. Don't let that be what your Christmas is about, because Christmas is about celebrating the great liberator, the one who has set us free from everything that holds us captive here on earth. Amen. So I'd like to take a short moment, with every eye closed and every head bowed, I'd like to take a short moment to pray for all of us who are maybe suffering with a loss this holiday season, okay? So join me in prayer. Father, I thank you for every family that is represented here today. I thank you for every heart that is here today, Lord, whether it is heavy or whether it is full of joy. And I pray, Lord, that you would just overshadow every bit of darkness and grief that we may be experiencing, Lord. Help us to remember, Father, that it's not about our earthly bodies here, that it's not about the lives that we live here, Lord, but ultimately it's about your kingdom and experiencing your love and your mercy and your grace. So, Father, I pray for every person that sits before me this evening, Lord, and I pray that if even one of them is grieving tonight, Lord, that you would remind them that they are a part of such a greater family. And that it's okay to be sad, but it's more important to move on, and it's okay to experience joy. Just because we lose someone, we don't have to be sad. We can be happy at the same time because we rejoice that they are with you. We rejoice that our ultimate goal as Christians is to one day be in heaven with you and celebrate your birthday with you, Father. So I pray encouragement this evening, Lord, and I pray that you would just lift every heart and every family up this evening and throughout the rest of this holiday season and for every holiday season that is to come for the rest of their lives. Amen. Okay. If I could please have every student, every child, anyone that's a part of my LOL Ministries to come forward, come up front. I have a special story to share with you, a special time for you. Gift to give to each of you. Hang on a second. It does? That's awesome. Okay, so I'm gonna read a verse to you, okay? Are you guys ready? All right, turn on your listening ears. Are you ready? Here we go. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him. So, I brought you a special gift today. What do you have? What did I give you guys? Okay. What are some of your favorite Christmas decorations? Tell me. Lily likes lights. What else? What do you guys like? You like lights too? What do you like? You like family. I like family too. What are some other favorite Christmas decorations? Quentin. Bells, very good. You know, I love bells too. Anybody, what's your favorite? Ornaments, very good. Cool. Chloe, what do you like? All right, awesome. Well, guess what? I brought you all jingle bells. Jingle them for me real quick. Jingle, jingle, jingle. Very good. Do you guys maybe know the song Jingle Bells? You do? You've heard of it before? Well, why do you think that we talk, why do we sing songs about jingle bells at Christmas time? Quentin? Because God wants us to. I don't know about that. It is Christmas Eve. Very good. Okay, I want you, hold your bell. Hold your bell for me. Look at your bell. Look at it. Do you know, no, don't put them in your mouth. Do you know what it is that makes your bells jingle? What makes that sound? Inside? Yeah, but what is the bell? There's a little tiny ball inside of there, right? There's a tiny, tiny bell. And it bounces around all against the outside of the bell, right? That's right. Well, inside, where does our joy and happiness and excitement come from? When you go sledding? Okay. I don't think you've ever been sledding before, but sure. So where does our joy come from? Can people see your joy and your happiness? But where does it come from? Quentin? It comes from God. It comes from your heart. Very good. It comes from God and your heart and on the inside. So just like these jingle bells, your joy comes from deep down on the inside, right? Can you see the little tiny bell that's inside your jingle bell to make that noise? You can? You must have magic eyes. You have special x-ray vision. Okay, well, you can't see that tiny little ball, right? Can people see Jesus inside of you, giving you that joy? Well, I hear some no's and some yeses. Why do you say yes? Well, you don't know because you haven't seen him before? Okay. Well, guess what? All of you are right. No, people can't see what's inside of you. They can't see Jesus, right? Jesus already grew up. Hey, Lily, come here. You need to sit down. Sit down, Julia. Come here. Sit down. People can't see Jesus, right? But they can see Jesus. How can people see Jesus? Quentin. By dying. Okay. That's a good answer. How else can people see Jesus? When you're in heaven, very good. You children are so literal. Okay, how about this instead? How can we show Jesus to other people without dying? How do you do that? Very good, by showing the light and telling people about him. AJ, bringing people to church, very good. So there are all kinds of things that we can do to share our joy with other people, right? So I want you to hold your bells really tightly in your hand. Hold it. Like hold the bell in your hand like this. Hold the bell. There you go. Now shake it. Somebody's not holding it right. You're not supposed to be able to hear the bell. If you keep Jesus all inside your heart and you don't share him with other people, how will other people be able to see Jesus? They won't. Right. So at Christmas time, we celebrate Jesus and the joy that he brings us in our hearts. So what's it our job to do, not only at Christmas time, but all the time? Quentin. Very good. To behave. It's our job to share the joy of Jesus that's inside us, right? We don't want to be Christians who are caught inside somebody else's hand and we shake, 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 and we do all these things and people don't, we're just talking to talk, right? Can you hear that? But when we show Jesus' love to other people, when we love our mom and dads, and when we're obedient and we listen to them, and when we do good things for our friends and family, our jingle bells inside our hearts shines bright and rings loud for all to hear. You know how Buddy the Elf says the best way to spread Christmas cheer is singing loud for all to hear? Well, the best way to spread Christ's cheer is loving others for all to see. Okay? All right. Well, thank you all very much, boys and girls. Before you leave, everybody bow your heads and close your eyes. I'm going to pray for us real quick, okay? Father, we thank you so much for every little one that's standing in front of you this evening. And I ask that you would help them to love you without any fear, without any doubt, Lord, and that they would be able to share your love and share why they're so happy and so joyous with all of their friends and family. Give them a fearless faith, Lord. Amen. Well, thank you all very much. You can go back to your families now. Thank you.
Good evening. Merry Christmas. Isn't it good in the midst of all the hustle and the bustle to be able to come in, to sit down at God's house, just breathe a little bit on this most holy, holiest of nights? All over the world tonight, literally all over the world, the praises of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is going up from this planet into glory. We are going to share communion together in just a few minutes. Those of you that are serving communion, if you'd please come forward and be ready to do that. As they're coming, I'm going to ask that you just bow your heads with me, please, and let us go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just come before you tonight to thank you for the greatest gift of all, your Son, who came into this world, Lord God, born in a very lowly state, that he might be the Savior and Redeemer of mankind. As we mark your birthday, Lord Jesus, in our hearts and our lives in this Christmas season, I ask, O Lord, that you would just let your Spirit move upon this congregation. Greater than that, Father, move across this nation and around the world. And breathe the newness of life that your Holy Spirit has brought to every person, Lord God, that will bow the knee to you to receive you as Savior, as Lord and leader of their lives. And Lord God, as we share communion tonight, I ask that the power and presence of the Holy Spirit would be here to comfort the hearts and minds of those that are hurting this evening, Lord God. Father, to fill with a peace that passes all understanding that can only come from you. And Lord, I ask that you would touch all of us in this place tonight as we rededicate our hearts and our lives through communion to you. I ask that your Spirit would move over this congregation to heal those that are here physically, Lord God. Some that need emotional and mental healing in our midst, O Lord. You are a great God and a great King, and nothing is impossible for you. Father, just wrap your arms of love around us now as we lift up our hearts to you in this communion service. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. They are going to dismiss you to come up and to receive the communion elements. And then as you do, I want you just to hold on to them in your seat. We're going to all share them together in just a few moments, okay? As Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, and the Bible said he sweat as though it were great drops of blood, he said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But he said, nonetheless, let thy will, not my will, be done. And he said, for this very hour was I born. The miracle of the virgin birth was that God could become a man, completely man in a human body, so that you and I one day, through the sacrifice of himself on the cross, could become sons and daughters of the Most High God. And that's what we celebrate here tonight. We celebrate what Mary pondered in her heart as the prophet Simeon, the priest, and prophetess prophesied over her son. The Bible said she kept these things in her heart and pondered them. And I would imagine when she stood at the foot of the cross, watching the life's blood bleed out of her son, those words came back to her and she realized that the sacrifice had to be. The greatest gift known to man is the heart and the message of the Bible, which says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him, and that whosoever is you and me and the person beside you, behind you, in front of you, that whosoever would believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We're going to take the bread first And Jesus said, as often as you do this in remembrance of me. We're going to pray over the bread, and then we're going to break it together, and then we're going to take it. Would you bow your heads with me, please? Father, we come before you on this most holiest of nights, Lord God, to thank you with every part of our being for your wisdom, for your grace, for your omnipotent power, Lord God. Father, for the plan that you had in your heart to redeem mankind. You knew before the foundation of the world that your Son would have to come and die in our place. Your word said that you prepared a body for him, and in that body he had come to do your will, O God. And Lord, for the joy that was set before him, he suffered even the death of the cross on our behalf. Father, as we take this bread tonight, this bread that is the manna sent down from heaven, that is the water of life, that, Lord, is symbolic of all that you, Jesus, embody in us and through us and to us. Let it be life and light and healing and blessing to each and every one of us, Father. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Let's take the bread together. The Bible said that after supper had ended, that Jesus took the cup also, and when he had blessed it, he gave it to each one of the disciples. He asked us to do it in remembrance of him, and he said to the disciples, "This is my blood. It's symbolic of my blood that's poured out for you for the remission of sins." Would you bow your heads with me again? Let's ask God's blessing on this cup. Father, again, we come to you in the name of our great high priest, Jesus, our Savior, our Lord, our King, our Counselor, our everything, dear God. And we thank you for his sacrifice. We thank you for his blood that was poured out as the precious, spotless Lamb of God, an offering and a sacrifice holy and acceptable unto you, Lord God. And Father, we come once again tonight, Lord, to this precious blood that was poured out for each and every one of us, Father. And once again, we ask that you would apply it to our hearts and to our lives, that, Father, you would forgive us of every sin and trespass. And Father, I lift up a prayer for our nation tonight, Lord God, because our sins are as high as the heavens. But Lord, in your wrath, remember mercy. God, deal with us, not according to your wrath, but according to your loving kindness and mercy, O God. Father, breathe new life into us. Forgive us as we forgive others. Forgive us and cleanse us, Father. And Lord, let this blood make us every whit whole again, we pray, as we partake of it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take it together. You may just be taking communion, but we got a little one over here that's passionate about it. Amen. Would you stand with us? Is all right, they stand. Would you stand with us, please, as we share another hymn together?
Again, I want to thank you for sharing this night with us. Before I dismiss us, though, I just feel if there's someone here that needs prayer, if you're hurting or maybe there's someone that you want prayed for, I'd be gladly meet with you after the service to pray with you. So just see me after the service. I'll be up front. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just come before you right now, and Father, we pour our heart to you tonight in worship. We pray, Lord, that our hearts and our motives and our actions were pleasing to you, that they were a sweet aroma to you, Father God. Father, we thank you for the greatest gift that's ever been given and will be given. We thank you for your son, Jesus. How hard it must have been for you to let him leave heaven to come down to be on earth. But Father, from the bottom of our hearts, we are so grateful that you loved us and you care for us. And Father, this gift that you have shared with us that lives inside of each one of us, Father, it's not meant to be kept to ourselves, but it's meant to be shared. So Father God, I just lift another prayer up to you, Father, as we leave this building, this place of worship, that we might share Jesus with those around us, with family, friends, co-workers, those that we meet in the stores, Father God. Let us share this greatest gift that's ever been given. And Lord, now I just ask that for traveling mercies as we leave, Lord, that you put angels about us and protect us as we go home. And Father, help us to celebrate the birth of your son, Jesus. Amen. You are dismissed.